Oh, these cars. Baking soda. I've got baking soda. It's dismal and kind of gray out here today. Which is a little out of character. The past couple days it's been really nice. Like, it's been shorts weather the past couple of days. Oh, which is nice because, like, you gotta, you know, open up the windows in the house, air it out. So far, everything's going according to plan. I'm pulling into the gas station without incident. And now I'm going to put gas in my car. And so, enjoy the silence. Like that song, you know? That gas got pumped, and so did I. There was someone trying to start a Dodge Durango at this gas station there, so after putting gas in it. And they were revving the engine so high, I thought it was like something was going to fucking blow up. And the engine kept dying. Could have to try to restart it. Probably flooded the engine. But it eventually got started and is no longer there, so I guess everything's okay somewhere. Wherever that car went. I was listening to this podcast. I might finish the episode I was listening to. Put that on real quick if it's something I can do while driving a car. Host is a real piece of garbage. Oh, this is cool, like a cool song parody. Cool. Great. That's really great. No, it's really good. Portable player is not connected. Yeah, you are connected. Okay.
This is how I'm going to conduct this. I'll say. I'll direct the questions. Yeah. Fantastic. Not this scrum that seems to, it's like a rugby match.
Sorry, he's low. I can't hear.
But it's just me and Daryl alone. We don't know how to value or assess the job we're doing with this show.
Right.
You know? Like, we talk, it's like, is this even worth doing? Like, it seems like people like it, but, like, you know, like, I don't know, you know?
Sure.
And so, ultimately, I think it's, as long as it's fun, we'll do it. But that's really why I want you to come to PAX East, because, like, hearing people roll up on me and be like, dude, when you said that thing, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, like, it filled up my tanks again for doing the show.
That's
like,
cool. I'm that's really cool.
About it. So, yeah, but anyway, so, I had a panel at 2 o'clock with the Gearbox crew. It was, basically, they got a bunch of people who worked with Gearbox in some capacity, kind of talking about all the products we did together. So it was like the Vita version of Borderlands 2, Borderlands 2 for Xbox One and PS4. They had the Homeworld guys up there. They had Telltale, you know, Tales from Borderlands up there.
Yeah.
They had Armature up there talking about the pre-sequel for Next Gen. They had John Drake up there because he worked on Harmonix once, and I guess they did something. And so I'm not exactly sure how the panel is going to go going in. But, you know, I'm friends with all the Gearbox guys. And it was basically just Randy up there just kicking it for an hour, just being Randy.
Was he moderating it?
He wasn't supposed to be. Like, the guy who put the... So it's kind of cool. So Gearbox had, like, their own They had their own theater.
Oh, wow, really? Okay.
Yeah, because they, like, you know, they're, so they're from Dallas, right?
Yeah.
Which is, like, you know, relative, let's give it a jump, San Antonio.
Right.
So they had, like, two rooms back-to-back. They had all of, like, the games and demos in their own, like, little side room.
Oh, cool.
And right next to that was the theater where they had their own panel stuff.
Nice.
And I think the biggest takeaway I had from that that whole experience was, like, they've got some awesome fans. Like,
really?
Like, just, like, the people, amount of people, and, the like, how ferociously they are in the Borderlands and Borderlands 2 and yeah. the whole universe is stunning, you know?
Yeah.
It's, like, I remember on Divekick, like, we'd get, like, one email a week or one letter a week from someone. It would be, like, all, like, you know, huddling around it and being all giddy or whatever. Yeah. It's, like, oh. Like, I guess this room could hold, like, 300 people.
Yeah.
And it wasn't full, but it was pretty, it was closer to full than empty.
Yeah.
And just the questions they would ask. They couldn't wait just, like, to find out this next little nugget about Tales from Borderlands, the next episode that's coming out.
That's
just
cool.
It was so insane about how, like, I shouldn't say insane because that makes it sound like I don't respect it. I'm actually just in awe of it. And they got some awesome fans. They're really, really cool. And
have you ever told the Divekick story? About the story we got, the comic book pain and all that?
I don't think I have. Yeah, I'll do that right now. So, this is the closest we'll ever get to being cool, internet. So, soak it up.
It's really cool.
Yeah, let me see if I can pull this up. I got a letter, like, not an email, but, like, a little tiny letter from this guy. Okay, here it is. This is the letter verbatim. I'm just going to read it. I told my son if you wanted to tell a story about Divekick, then I would send it to the guys that made it. We love your game. I've always liked the idea of fighting games, but found the barrier of entry just too much for someone who wasn't willing to invest all my gaming time. Coincidentally, a two-button fighting game in which one hit does a billion damage is perfect for a four-year-old as well.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for making awesome games, Iron Galaxy. But now here's his son's story. It's the beginning of it. Let me get the clear my throat for a proper dramatic interpretation. Divekick said, yes, he'll never do stuff to us. He'll never kick us in the face. He'll never push us. He said, no, you can't raise that kick. Divekick was saving the school. Divekick came to save our school. He came to save our Coke. He came to save our life. The Divekick was saving every city. So he kicked every bad guy in the face. The guy with the huge head was the hero, and he came to our house and started destroying it. And the Divekicks came and made him run away. The Divekick said, wow, that was awesome. Wow, that Divekick was so impressive. I have art, and again, forever. And he said, yes. And he kicked people up in the air, and he was going somewhere, and so I never kicked, and rocks, and this trick, and Divekick was helping us rebuild our house, and Spider-Man also came and helped us build our house back. And Divekick saved the city. Thank you, Divekick. The end.
It's so good. It's so good.
And so, obviously, we were tickled with that, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, anytime you get anything like that, it's like a little slice of heaven. And so I had a couple of the artists in the studio actually make, like a panel-by-panel comic version of that.
Yeah.
And we had it printed up on this huge format. I think it was 6 feet tall by, like, 2.5 feet wide. And we mailed it to the family. I didn't hear anything about it at first. I was a little worried. And I actually met the guy. The guy actually introduced himself to me. I think I might have mentioned this before. So at the PAX Prime, remember the Xbox One showcase?
Yeah.
He actually was there. And he's like, hey, did you ever get that letter with the kid that was me? And so I got to meet him. And he was super nice dude.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, but we got something special coming your way. Stay tuned. He's like, oh, that's awesome. So, but eventually he sent me another letter, or he sent me an email, and it had a picture of his kid in it, and it's basically, he filmed his kid reaction to getting, to looking at the print.
Oh, cool.
And so it was just amazing, cool. And the kid was, like, over the moon.
That's
and
awesome.
And so, we got one of those in the studio, and maybe I'll print up more one day, but that was pretty awesome.
That was
and
nasty.
So, yeah, like, now imagine having a room of full 300 people that are just like that.
Or theater full of people, yeah.
And that's Gearbox, essentially, right? Like,
that's awesome.
Just the love those guys get for fans is stunning. And it's
the Borderlands, like, saved the city.
You know, it gives you something to shoot for, right, as another developer. So,
oh, yeah.
Awesome. Daryl, I see we're creeping up on some time here for, I think what we'll do, since we made this, welcome to the hashtag Team GFB Radio production talk, where Dave and Daryl decide things about the show on the fly for your enjoyment. Let's make this an official two-part episode.
Okay.
And then we'll try to get Alex to play him on multiplayer on Dash back-to-back live.
Okay, and, great, yeah.
And unfortunately for the people at home, you'll have to wait a week if you just get this on iTunes to get the next half. But guess what?
Well,
it's going to be so worth it.
Well, it's going we got some good stuff coming up in the next half here.
Man, really I didn't realize I was investing in a fucking two-parter. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, oh yeah. We got some good ones. You guys brought it again with the emails.
Say it again?
You guys brought it again with the emails.
No, say it even less sincere this time.
Oh. You guys did great.
So delicious.
Oh, you guys, no, seriously, you guys are awesome. These emails,
But since, even though this is a two-parter, I feel like we should still do an official show exit. No, or should we just roll?
No, we got to.
Okay.
It's a show.
So, Daryl.
Yeah?
I know I swore we would never do it again. Like, I swore that a couple times now. Mm-hmm. But I got a really compelling argument. There's a family in Argentina who they want my bank account info, but they also really want to know what does GFB stand for. And I'm not gonna get into the whole story and their song and dance about like why I think they deserve to know. But they pitched a compelling tale, and so Daryl Wisner, mm-hmm. I would like you to let them know what does hashtag Team GFB Radio stand for.
This is for the family in Argentina?
And only for everyone else, please turn down the volume.
Yeah. All right, we'll tell them. Yeah, it means golfing for babies.
Ha! Of course it does. What else could it mean, Daryl? What else could it mean? That's it. That's the list. It sure as heck doesn't mean gluten-free brownies.
No, that's not what it means. Absolutely not. That doesn't even make sense.
It doesn't mean gentlemen fucking Broncos. It doesn't mean that. No.
No.
Golfing.
Well, that sounds pretty good, though.
For babies.
Yes.
So this was part one of a hot shot part two-part banger. Hashtag Team Golfing for Brownies, I am Dave Lang.
It's babies. Golfing for babies.
Golfing baby. Baby. That's Daryl Wisner.
Bruce. Bye.
Playing in reverse order. That's the exact opposite. Well, shit. I mean, might as well listen to the next one. Finish this fucking hot two banger. Live critique.
Welcome,
Team GFB Radio.
To the 22nd edition.
I think that theme song, I think that music is not a good fit.
My name is Dave Lang.
For podcast music.
And I've never been more excited than I am right now. Immediately to my left, if by left you mean northwest by about 3 miles, my best friend in the whole world, Daryl Wisner. Daryl, how the hell are you doing?
I'm super excited as well, Dave.
When you say it like that, it doesn't sound like you're super excited.
I am. I'm ready to do the show. Ready to knock out part two of this episode.
I think a good goal for this should be not to do it twice.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I'll agree with that.
Like, that would be a stellar outcome at this point. The show could be hot garbage.
Yeah.
If we only do hot garbage once, I'm in there. Right?
We're good.
I'm feeling pretty good.
We got this.
So, for those of you listening, if you missed last week's show, this is part two of a two-part hot banger. Mm-hmm. Hot banger every time. We left episode part one, I should say, about halfway through the wrap-up of PAX South. So we're going to finish that for part two and then roll straight into some emails, I think. Right, Daryl?
Yeah. We got a lot of emails. You guys really brought it this time. Thank you so much. Really. TeamGFBRadio@gmail.com. Keep them coming, man. These are awesome.
Yeah, we haven't plugged anything in a bit, have we?
No,
so
we haven't.
Very slowly, the Twitter handlers are creeping up. Very slowly. We crossed the 200 threshold on Twitter.
Nice.
Which is...
Well done.
It's not nice. It's actually pretty shitty by any measure. How many do you got yet?
I have no idea.
You do know exactly to the person how many you have. Do not lie to me.
I don't.
Okay. So Daryl, he is at Daryl underscore Wisner, or is it Daryl Wisner one word?
No, it's just Daryl Wisner one word.
So Daryl Wisner has a shocking lack of followers, everyone. You could get in on the ground floor. Like, if you follow me at this point, at Joseph J. Brony, you're just one of the nameless ramble. But you could get in on the ground floor of some hot Daryl Wisner Twitter action.
Get in on the stock early.
You could say you were one of the first. So that's my official right. Like, if I'm Kramer and I'm like, you know, I'm on CNN and I'm yelling, buy, 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 I'm buying Daryl Wisner Twitter handle all day.
Got to buy low.
But anyway, I guess just roll right in the Pac South stuff.
Yeah, let's keep it going.
So I left off with the Gearbox panel at the end of part one. Nothing really too crazy happened the rest of Saturday. Kind of set up a group dinner. So there's usually like the same group of people at all these shows. And this was like light for this group. But one of the kind of traditions we have is we always try to get a group dinner going. And different people set them up every time. And what's notable about this, the only reason I bring this whole thing up, isn't to point out that I'm irrepressibly cool or anything like that, although that's true as well. It's that I have the misfortune of setting up the worst group dinner of all time. I think it was like two or three Comic-Cons ago. I set up a group. It was a big group. It was like 14 people or whatever. And so you're like, it's Saturday at Comic-Con. You're trying to like, you're hitting open table looking for anything at all that'll handle 14 people on a Saturday. And
right.
And I ended up finding this Indian place, and it was hot garbage. It was awful.
That stinks.
Like, it was the worst. And so, like, you know, I know it was bad. Everyone knows it was bad. Some people are nice enough not to point it out to me every time they see me. The good news is I'm now off the hook. Because nice. Drake had the duties of setting up the Pac South fun time team dinner. And let's just say, no one will be talking about the naan from my Indian restaurant for a while. So first of all, we're in San Antonio, and Drake picked an Italian place. Okay. All right, maybe you know something I don't. That's fine.
Yeah.
Walk there. It's in a fucking mall.
Ooh.
An Italian place in a mall. So that was awful. Okay, I'm being too cruel now. It was not good. It was. I'm gonna say in the same bucket as my Indian pick. But this is newer, so no one's gonna remember my shit. So
sure,
I don't know.
Sure.
So did dinner with that group. That was fun, despite the horrible restaurant. That was cool.
It was pretty bad.
Marriott, which is like right next door. The cool thing about San Antonio is like if you're downtown by the convention center, like. It's not like PAX East where everyone is in hotels all over the city, right? Like, everyone is in, well, maybe that's just because this is, like, the first PAX South and relatively few people went. I don't know. But, like, there's people that were in the Hilton or they were in the Marriott. I was the only person I knew in the Westin, but everyone was, like, right there in one of those places. And so you're always bumping into people and seeing people. I met this guy named Curtis from... He does a bunch of different stuff, but he kind of works with Adult Swim. He helps them curate their... Because I don't know if you're super into Adult Swim, right?
Yeah.
So you know how they have like that hip-hop curation thing they do where they pick like this track from this guy and they actually release like albums of hip-hop? Are you familiar with that or no? So this guy's like involved with that.
That's
awesome. And we started talking about like just all like, you know, just the Run the Jewels stuff and LP's early stuff. Because like I said, I'm from... Dave Lang Iron Galaxy, and he's like, Iron Galaxy, I named it after the song, da da da. And we immediately went just deep in on hip hop. So that was cool. So I got to meet him. That was probably the highlight of Marriott for me. And then just kind of hanging out there. And that was super, super low key. I think everyone was kind of like beat already. Not shenanigans ensued. But then me and Jeff decided we didn't have enough. So, like, you know, 1 5 o'clock night wasn't enough for me. I wanted to stack up back to back. So me and Jeff went to my room, and we got the laptop out, and we were just passing it back and forth, like trying to play hip-hop tracks. The other person, the one is super dope, and two, the other person hadn't heard yet.
Right, right.
And so, like, we're drinking, Luckily, we got to my room before the room service alcohol cut off. So I ordered like 10, Sam Adams. Yeah, I got 10 Sam Adams seasonals. Got those brought up to the room, and we just like drinking those and pounding and listening to hip hop and going. And this, Daryl, is when I got introduced to the next Mrs. Lang. So have you heard of Kayflay?
I have now. As of this recording,
so
I have.
Kayflay, yeah, as of this, you previous to that, you had not.
No.
So I hadn't either. Like Jeff is like, you know, he's like West Coast his whole life. In NorCal, like, he actually likes E-40. Like, he thinks E-40 is good.
What?
But he's like, even worse than West Coast, he's NorCal. And so he's like, oh, here's someone you probably haven't heard of. She's from San Francisco. She does her production. She sings a little. She raps a lot. Da-da-da-da-da. Here's, and I'm not, and my expectations are, like, at the floor. Like, they couldn't be lower.
Right.
And he starts playing stuff, and it is banging. And it's this chick is just rapping, and she's just kicking it. And every song is better than the last one. And there's ones where she's singing, and I'm even into those. And so it turns out her name is K.Flay. It's kind of like one smash. There's like no space there. Super, super short version. She's got a bunch of stuff on iTunes. She's got a bunch of stuff on SoundCloud. And it's all like super dope. And I'm going to marry her. I'm gonna basically arrange my life in such a way that I can be where she is at any given time. Like, luckily, I know where she's gonna be because she posts like where she's going on tour on her website.
Great.
Now that I know that, I can construct a life around hers. And I'm going to what was the name of that? You remember that Empire Strikes Back when Luke cut open that thing and was sleeping in it?
Uh-huh. Yeah. What was that called? Han cut it open to put Luke into it.
Oh, Han. The Tauntaun.
The Tauntaun. Yeah.
Good. I'm going to be her Tauntaun. In summary. There's another difference. I'm going to slice myself open and wrap myself around her when she's not looking. The difference. Also, not creepy at all. Also.
Of course not. Yeah.
Like, if someone were to type that out and read it, it would seem creepy. But when I say it, it's charming. Right. Kayflay, please don't.
Not at all.
No restraining orders are necessary.
Yeah, I saw you tweet out her song, the Audio Tree Live version of No Duh. I'm like, man, I was just floored by that song. That track is so good. It was so good.
It's like, the thing is, like, that's just one I clicked on, right?
That's so good.
So, if you have a remote passing interest in hip hop, I would check out Kayflay right away. Also, semi like tangential note, like, I had a bunch of people like coming up to me at PAC South and saying like, "Hey, I got into Run the Jewels because of you. What else should I listen to? Like, I've never listened to hip hop before, but I loved Run the Jewels. Like, what should I listen to next?" And one guy said, "So do you use Spotify?"
Yeah.
How does it, like, because I had, like, one guy run up. He's like, "You should make, like, a Spotify playlist of, like, Dave Lang certified bangers so everyone knows, like, these are legit tunes." Like, internet, you don't have control over what plays next. Like, how do...
That's the only thing I've used it for. Like, you just jump through and find artists that you like, and then you can kind of favorite them and add them to your playlist. And that's as far as I've used it. I've never actually made, like, curated playlists for to share with other people and stuff, though. I don't know how that side of it works. I just have, my quote-unquote library.
Gotcha. And it's going to play Weaker Thans and, like, what...
Actually, I don't know if I have any Weaker Thans in there. Weaker Thans, that's a deep cut. I gotta beef it up, man.
So, Daryl, the first 3 years I knew Daryl, he wore the same thing every day. He had the outer shell was the same thing every single day.
My hoodie, yeah.
Daryl had a Weaker Thins hoodie, and he wore it every day for 3 years straight. So I'm stunned, I'm stunned, frankly, that you don't have them in your Spotify rotation.
I'm still devastated, man. I lost that thing at LAX one year, one E3 trip, and
dude, that thing was rated all the way on its own. Like, it needed to be free.
And I couldn't rebuy it. They didn't sell it anymore. It was the Falling Cowboy hoodie, and Yeah, that's, I can find another one.
There's nothing worse than losing a loved hoodie.
Good hoodie.
We have a hoodie that just fits you perfectly. That's something special. That's true love right there, Daryl.
Yeah.
All right, Pack South. So that was Saturday. Sunday, what happened Sunday? Oh, yeah, slept in a little bit again, surprise. In the stunning turn of events, I slept in again. I had a panel I was doing. Jeff signed up to do, like, a Q&A session with Jeff Gerstmann as a panel. And Friday's like, hey, I would love you to, like, moderate it. So basically, like, ask me questions for, like, an hour on stage.
Oh, really?
And so...
That's cool.
Got to the booth, like, 11 and started frantically writing down questions. Like, oh, what would I want to... Yeah. It's like, this is the extent of the research, right? And so did that. That was really fun. It got recorded. It didn't get recorded by, like, Drew and those guys. They got recorded by the PAC staff. So I don't know if it's ever going to go up on the site. I know Jeff did the Mixler, so you can find that archive out there somewhere. But that was super fun because I was like, you know, I had Jeff up there in front of like 500 people. I could ask him anything, and he kind of had to answer.
That's fun.
And so I was, you know, for the most part, I was playing it straight. But there was times when I was trolling hard.
Good.
You tell him, like, what's sexy? And he was completely not comfortable with answering that question at all. But that was fun to do. That was a good panel. I think that came off okay. And then we had booth teardown at 6. And teardown went a lot better than setup. Teardown was, like, it was a bunch of, like, me yelling at Tim Rogers to get his head out of his ass and actually help. That was the extent of teardown for, like, 3 hours. But
sure.
That went pretty good. And then, like, all those guys, they went to do, I guess it was Royal Rumble in the WWE circles.
Okay.
And I guess they got, like, a bar, and they were going to show it at a bar, and all the guys were meeting up at the bar. And I kind of had my fill of socialization at that point.
Sure. Sure.
And so I just basically went to the hotel. I went to the restaurant in the hotel. I ate dinner by myself. And then I passed in my room. It was pretty legit. Not a super riveting Sunday. That panel was fun. But aside from that, you know, not a lot going on. But then Monday, ended up having to go to I had to go to Phoenix kind of at last minute, unexpected. And I was in Phoenix all week, and I got absolutely nothing done. And that's why, Daryl, you and I are doing a Skype cast at 1 a.m. on a Sunday morning.
That's right.
That's why.
For a work day.
We're picking them up and putting them down for the Team GFB radio listening fans.
We're doing it for you guys.
You and no one else.
That's
so
it. That's it.
Also because of that. Yeah, that's actually all I got. Daryl, did anything happen to you besides...
Look, all right, I should point out here that Lang almost bought an E40 album that night after I was playing some E40. Like, he was not super impressed. He was like, you know, I don't really know what's up with E40. I don't really know. And I was like, okay, here's some E40. I was like, well, what album? I'll buy it now. Which album? I don't know. I don't think he ever bought it. I believe I told him to get The Mailman. Or maybe the one after that. I can't remember. That part is a little hazy. But God damn it.
Snow Fort, which we got into last time.
No, that was pretty much the biggest fort.
What was this dinner you had yesterday? Can you talk about that?
Oh, yeah. So there was a little bit. Yeah, there was a charity dinner out here. There's a group called PADS, and what they did, basically, it's a charity event for it. Basically, a homeless shelter out here, and it's kind of big out in the town here that I live in. So it was fun. There's a bunch of groups of couples who do like a dance. They kind of set it up as like a Dancing with the Stars sort of thing. And some friends of ours were dancing in there, so we went there to support them and give some money to a good cause. It turned out to be a really fun night.
So, Daryl,
yes,
we've got an email backlog going on.
We do. Yeah, we do. We do. You guys have been awesome sending in the emails to teamgfbradio@gmail.com.
So awesome!
Yeah. Yeah, for real.
Just
so,
amazing.
Yeah.
Awesome!
Shut up.
So, Daryl, let's get into it. Let's clear out the backlog.
Yeah, so apologies if you've sent in an email and you haven't either heard on the show or not, but I'm working from the bottom here. So You haven't heard your email. Sit tight. We'll get to them. We're saving them for...
I wouldn't promise that.
Hot banger episodes like these. So, Phil comes in. Actually, from Sam. I think we had an email from Sam before. Basically, Sam had a few questions that he wanted us to ask. So we can kind of roll through here. We're kind of interesting. First question is... he's curious to see what kind of placeholder art do we use in early builds? Anything interesting? I know one of the we always used to love the GIF of you, the infamous GDC GIF of you. that's a classic one around the Iron Galaxy office.
Yeah, so like
we always try to go
the image that is basically like, you know how like when you're on PS4 or the Xbox One. There's, like, cover art. There's no covers anymore because everything's digital, but there's cover art. It's like when you're in the store and you see what it is. So until we get actual art, everyone thinks it's hilarious to do that gif of me where I've got, like, 12 billion chins.
Right.
And just have that sitting there like, hey, look, it's Borderlands 2. Ah, ha, ha, no, it's Dave being a fat piece of shit. It's Giant Bomb. Right. Yeah.
So. There's another placeholder art that actually... rings a bell right now because I actually just use it. There's a lot of times you'll see placeholder art in the game for a long time. That we call it quote-unquote programmer art. Because usually it's the programmer kind of implementing like a temp art piece or something just to get like functionality going. And it has to be like blatantly wrong, right? Like there's no way this could ever be interpreted as final art, right? It's like it's something in there, so there's something on screen. And you know that this will be better soon, right? And one thing I use, and hopefully this will never actually get out there because it did, but in Killer Instinct, we usually stub out like all the achievement icons or the achievement pictures, and I have one that I've made that I think is pretty funny, but it's a picture of TJ Combo, and I draw glasses on him. He has a little mustache on there, and he's holding a sign with, he's holding up one that says Chivo on it.
Nice.
And he's some flowers that are starting to die. And he's in a little horribly, crudely drawn top hat as well on there. I think the picture's hilarious, and it's our placeholder achievement artwork that we use in the game until we get the actual real artwork.
Yeah, until we get the actual real artwork the day we submit.
Right, yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it usually comes in pretty hot, that's for sure. I don't know, was there any other interesting placeholder art that you had in your day?
It wasn't... Like, I don't know if this qualifies as a placeholder, but I worked on a game once called the NHL Breakaway.
Uh-huh.
And it was kind of like a... There was a weird mode in it where you could be, like, the GM, right? But you weren't the GM, you were also kind of the owner. And you were, like, you could set up things, franchise. And, like, one thing you could do is, like, hey, pick what concessions you sell, right? Uh-huh. And so we had the artist who was doing it in the office with us one day. And we're like, okay, we want a hamburger, we want french fries. And then we just, like, get silly and ridiculous. And then we just sort of, like, hey, wouldn't it be funny if, like, you know, a hockey puck, by the way, quote-unquote funny, not funny at all, actually. Sure. Wouldn't it be funny if, like, a hockey puck was, like, the meat of a sandwich and all this stuff? And we're just, like, just making up, and it's like 90% bullshit and 10% good ideas. And this artist didn't really know any better. And so he went off and made every single piece of art. And he delivered it, like, to us. And it's like, oh, wow, he actually made the hockey puck sandwich. Oh, and there's
That's
him.
Funny.
There's the slapshot salad, which is a fucking, you know. Wow, that was a joke, too. He actually drew that, though, so we paid for that. So, yeah, not quite placeholder. But I'm sure we tried to find ways to use that wherever possible, but it didn't quite work out.
That is so funny. That's hilarious. Next question from Sam. So if Dave stops being the business guy or retires, would you keep going with the incessant boozing?
I think I figured out what's happening with the boozing. So I think I'm just in the midst of the world's longest midlife crisis.
Okay, sure.
And I think that's what's happening with the boozing.
Okay.
Like, I don't, like, I really, you know, without diving too deep into it, I do really enjoy, like, you know, a nice wine or a nice glass of beer, like, just in an academic sense. Like, I enjoy how it tastes, and I like all that stuff. But I don't remember boozing this hard since college, essentially. And so here I am again. And so once again, I just chalk it up to the midlife crisis. When in doubt, Daryl, blame the midlife crisis.
Blame the midlife crisis. Sam also wants to know if we could work on any game franchise and potentially rescue it from Livian. What would it be? What game franchise would you pick?
I can tell you what it would be.
What would it be?
You know, I can tell you what it would not be.
Oh.
It would not be Windjammers.
Dang. All right, next question. Let's leave it at that then.
No, what would you save?
What would I save? That's a good question. I think a game franchise that I would love to work on. I would love to work on Legion of Clair. I'd love to rescue that thing, right? It's always been tried.
Did they ever do that?
You know the one thing that we do, and it was the King's Quest. That would have been freaking amazing. But
yeah, those gentlemen are gonna. I tried to get them on the podcast once, but I think their Activision overlords wouldn't allow it.
Yeah.
Bob Loya, get your shit together. Let them on the podcast. I want to talk about King's Quest. Free promotion, Bob Loya. Let them on.
Any of the old Sierra classics, man. I'd love to do that. Resurrect the Space Quest.
Have you played... So that Grim Fandango remaster launched this week. Mm-hmm. You picked that out yet?
I haven't yet. I will.
Did you play Grim when it came out?
I played about half of it. It didn't grab me back when it first came out, but I definitely want to give it another go.
Yeah, you know who fucking loves Grim Fandango? Mm. And this would be the last person you'd ever guess. Tom Carbone.
Really?
Yeah, it was like one of his favorite games of all time.
Oh, nice.
Like, I remember being at the store with him when he bought it. Yeah. And like, just like, are you sure? That doesn't seem like you. And then like, next 3 days, all he's talking about is Grim Fandango. It was amazing.
That's awesome. But that's really cool. Right on.
Cool.
So that's about it from Sam. So thank you, Sam.
You know what I would save?
What?
I would save Deadline.
Deadline?
Deadline was an Infocom mystery game. Hmm.
Okay.
You were a private detective, and you had basically a couple hours to solve this murder mystery at this mansion. And it was godlike. It was so good. But you do that again? Oh, man. Yeah, that'd be fun. I love Deadline's legit.
Nice. That's awesome. You ready for the next email, Dave?
I don't know if I'm ready, but let's go.
Let's do this. Our next email comes from Jack. Jack in Birmingham, actually. So thanks for writing in, Jack. Hey, D&D, with respect to its first-party games, i.e. not outsourcing jobs, how does Iron Galaxy approach the idea of, quote-unquote, next-generation games, supposedly unshared by the PS4 and the Xbox One? Does anything change? And how do you guys remember the previous generation shifts from an industry point of view? For example, does better-performing hardware necessitate more resource to make games fill that capacity as much as possible on your end? Thanks, guys. Love the show. Really interesting to hear you talk about how games are made.
Yeah.
How do we approach the idea of next generation?
It's like, I think the whole concept of what is AAA and what is next gen, it kind of doesn't really exist anymore for the most part. Like the notion that a game isn't worth making unless it completely pushes the platform in a direction it hasn't been pushed before, that just isn't true. I mean, it's true at the very, very high end, but there's all this stuff that didn't exist, like on 360 and PS3 and all this like indie type stuff or whatever, right? So we're basically always confined by budget and time, right? We're always trying to make the best thing we can make with budget and time, and that's always much more of a constraint than, say, like what the plat do or whatever, right? So if it's something like, but even like, you know, you say that, but it's even like stuff like Divekick, where it's our own thing, so we can spend as much as we want on it and as much time as we want on it, and it's not going to push the platform at all. So it's like the whole thing is just kind of a weird concept now. But I do think I remember thinking back to like when Stranglehold was getting started at Midway, and Stranglehold was like the first kind of quote unquote next gen game we did there. And I remember the rule of thumb that Epic told us at the time was the jump from, you know, 360 to the original Xbox or PS3 to PS2 was that it'll take three times the artists, three times the time to make assets for a game. So, like, if you're making the exact same game on the PS2 or the PS3, you need nine times the art bandwidth to make the exact same game. And I bet that is largely true in every generation shift. But Daryl, you have any thoughts on that?
No, no, that's about dead on from what you're saying. You know, we haven't been in the position of, you know, I guess pitching a new game for the new consoles, you know, as Iron Galaxy. So we haven't had the idea of like, hey, you know, how are we going to approach these new systems and bring something new to it? How are we going to, you know, build up resources and necessitate that? But I mean, it's cool to see like the new things, like which is odd things like building a game around like Twitter integration. Games like IDAR and things of that nature that are just like they're doing things that are wildly different than doing previous consoles that aren't, you know, aren't inside of like a capacity to do. So it's fun to see exposing those other hooks and seeing, trying out different things in that sort of way and experimenting more. Yeah, IDAR, how cool is that?
I still haven't played it. Like, I played it at shows, but I haven't played it at home yet. I definitely gotta... I want to stream that one day. And then just get, like... Yeah, that game... I really like that game, and I want to play it a lot. But I have not taken...
Yeah, I actually fired it up today. And, yeah, I wanted to play around with the hash bomb stuff on it, right? Get stuff going on in the game. And I couldn't get it to work. What am I doing wrong? What's going on? And it looked like there was actually some Xbox Live services down. So I kind of explained it. So I was kind of bummed out in that respect. Otherwise, freaking awesome.
Yeah, that whole... I remember Mike Frank. Like, so Mike was doing... Mike Micah, who's the creative director of Other Ocean, and IDAR was kind of his baby. Mike's an amazing dude. Like, he can program. He's super creative. Mike Micah is your one thing for, like, game developer talent. Like, he can kind of do enough of everything to make the whole game himself.
Right.
And I remember the first time I met him, it was, like, 4 dices ago or whatever. And him and drove down from Oakland to Vegas. And it's, like, an 8-hour drive, right?
Yeah.
And while they were driving, like, he prototyped a game in the car while they were driving. Cool. Right?
So awesome.
It's like,
that's so awesome.
It's like some side-scrolly thing. They were trying to pitch it, like, hey, we could use this license with it, with this company, and we're going to pitch them with it while we're here.
Yeah.
Like, what's your pitch? They're like, oh, just this thing I made in the car. I'm like, let me see it. And it's fucking amazing, right? Like, yeah, it was really good.
Yeah.
So he's cool. I hope IDAR does really, really well. I think they were really smart about how they launched that. And when I think, like, when I look at all the social integration and just all the ways he's getting people talking about IDAR on Twitter and Facebook and all this stuff, and it feels, you know, it's like, hey man, I want to go viral, right? But like, he pulled it off. I hope that game is mega successful because he fucking deserves it. So
yeah, no doubt. I was thinking too, just thinking back to your comment of like, you know, from generational shifts and saying like every jump has been about like 3 times more than the pre whatever. It's just like, at what point do you think that's going to stop, right? Like it can't go on like that forever, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm just curious of, like, you know, what's going to be the next turn that's going to make the tides shift or bring it back down, or are we just going to be in a stalemate, you know?
Well, if we knew that, we wouldn't be sitting here right now.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, all right. Well, thank you, Jack. Appreciate the email. Next email comes in from Mike from Ohio. Says, hey, D&D, this might seem like a weird question, but have fans ever shown up unannounced to visit any of the places you've worked? I know that happens to Valve and Bungie sometimes, so I was curious if it was widespread or not, and how did you guys feel about it if it did happen? Thanks.
So, no one has ever showed up to Iron Galaxy that I'm aware of like that. Are you aware of anything?
I thought one did at the old office... I thought so.
What do you want? Do you remember?
I think he wanted to drop off a resume, though.
Oh, yeah. So that don't count.
I think is what it was.
Carbone, I had this... Oh, man. So the closest I ever got to this... And this never actually happened. This is like...
Okay.
This is a troll Carbone did on me that never occurred, but it affected me so deeply. It's like it's real.
Yeah.
So I joined... this was back in... This is like 96 or 97, when Quake 1 came out.
Okay.
And so I joined the Quake Clan, as one does, right?
Uh-huh.
And was friends with these guys online, and, like, you know, we're all, hey, we're making fun of Low Ping Boys and all this stuff. Hey, it's fun. Hey. And then they did, like, oh, let's do an in-person meetup. And the clan name was Necrosis, right? So we were the Necrosis Clan out of Salt Lake City, okay. Utah. And we'll do a meet at this guy's house. It's okay, cool. So I brought my computer over. Everyone brought their computer over. We had a LAN party.
Yeah.
And I quickly realized, like, okay, I no longer want to be part of this clan. Like, aside from Quake, let's just say it like this. The most charitable way I can say it is Quake is the only shared interest I had with the rest of the group, right?
Sure.
And when you're confronted with that in real life, it gets a little weird. It gets a little wonky. And so at the time, my online handle, before I read Snow Crash, so now my go-to online handle is DA5ID, which I ripped out of Snow Crash. Before that, it was Webo, which is a different story altogether. And so I was telling Carbone and this other guy, Rich Reagan, who I think I've talked about before, and they're like, oh, man, that sounds awful, da-da-da-da-da. And a couple days later, they're like, Dave, like, I got back from dinner. They're like, where were you? I'm like, oh, I was at dinner. Like, you fucking missed everything. And I'm like, what happened? And they're like, there was this guy. So, like, this was in Sculpture. So we were, like, on the second floor of this building. And every day at 6 sharp, like, the gate would drop, right? And the gate was, like, how the public would come into the building or the mailman or whatever. But there was also, like, employee entrance to the side. But so no employees ever used the main gate. They always come up with the side doors.
Yeah.
And, like at, like, 6:05... we hear someone, like, wailing at the gate. I'm like, what do you mean? What? What are you, like, you're someone. So it's like, you know, we get closer. And it's these three guys. And they're going, Webo! Webo! I'm like, oh, my God, yeah. Because, like, one of the reasons that whole thing went south is when until I met him in person, we had no reason to talk about, like, what we all did in life or whatever. And they found out, like, I worked in games, and then they all got super weird, and they wanted, like, hey, how do I get in on that, da, da, da.
Right.
And so, Carbone made that fear manifest, basically.
Oh,
and he's, like, cocked this whole thing. Like, they were basically grabbing the gate and shaking it. They wouldn't leave until they talked to Webo. It's like, who saw this before I knew Carbone was a horrible person? And this is back when I trusted him implicitly.
Yeah.
And he fucking kept me on the hook for at least a half hour before he broke. And then I'm like, oh my God. Because, like, he had me thinking, like, the president of the company just wanted to know who Webo was. And Webo was in deep shit because these randos came over and all this shit. Yeah, it was bad. But
yeah.
Anyway, so no actual stories, but there's one made up story.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I would probably freak out, I guess, if someone just showed up in the office unannounced. It seemed kind of weird.
So I think in the most general sense, I think it's quote unquote weird, right?
Yeah.
Because, like, it's a workplace and we're doing work and we got stuff to do. Like, it's not a scheduled appointment, but there's a difference between weird and creepy, you know? And I think I'm always willing to forgive weird. Creepy is a little harder.
Sure.
So.
Fair enough. So yeah. So I guess we haven't had any personal experience. The Webo one is a good one.
I remember the two went to. Were you there the first time we went out to Irrational? Remember we couldn't find the office?
Yeah.
And so it turns out, like, they had a very bad incident where someone kept showing up to the office and just, like, sneaking in when no one was at the front door or whatever, and just walking the halls of Irrational. And so eventually they decided the best thing to do was, like, take their name off the door. And just, like no one knows where their office is. They know they're in this building, but no one can find them. So they actually changed physical offices and took all signage off the building that they were there. Because they didn't want these people showing up and just, like, being weird to them. So, it can be weird, but...
Yeah, it's not like they had...
I, too, had a hard time finding the Irrational all the time I went there.
Thank you, Mike. Next question here comes from Joshua. Or Josh, I'm sorry. Hey, guy, Josh from your northerly neighbor, Milwaukee, actually. Armand Hammer on Twitter. Great job on the show. I'm always entertained by Dave's antics in Japan and parts elsewhere. Looks like Josh is studying abroad in Japan for 5 months later this year and wanted to know if Dave had any essential tips. Bonus or alternative question. Looking to get a retro Japanese console. Should I get a TurboGrafx, a Neo Geo, a PlayStation Extreme, or something else? Thanks, love the show, and love Divekick.
Oh, wow. That's that is a trifecta of goodness. so So I've only been to Tokyo. So if you like general Japan questions, I'm not your guy. Like, I've never been to Osaka. I've never been anywhere interesting. I've just been to Tokyo. Here are my three Tokyo tips. So if you want to go to Tokyo and you've never been, here are my tips in order. Daryl, are you ready?
I'm ready.
There's two airports. There's Narita and Haneda. Mm-hmm. If possible, you want to fly into Haneda.
Okay.
Like, Haneda is, like, closer to Tokyo proper. Narita is way the fuck out there. So if possible, fly to Haneda. Say you have to fly to Narita. Do a little research ahead of time and land when... Make sure you don't land at a weird hour when the trains aren't running. Because if you try to do a cab from Narita to Tokyo, that'll cost you 250 American.
Nah, son, take the bus. There's a bus. There's a shuttle bus that goes to all
these express trains that run
town. Don't take the train.
But they only run out of Terminal 1. And if you land in a different terminal, you have to take a weird shuttle. And it's Japan, so there's no signs like that help you anywhere. Like, right. So if you don't figure this out ahead of time, like, okay, I'm going to land in Terminal 2. There's a shuttle. I get out of here. It'll take me to Terminal 1. Then I take the escalator down. And then there's these two different shuttles. Which one do I want? Or express trains, I should say. Which one do I want? And then if you don't figure that out ahead of time, like, spend the hour of your life to invest in it, you're going to end up spending that $250 because you'll be scared shitless, right? So figure that out. And then three, this is the hardest one, but there's only one hotel worth staying in all of Tokyo.
Mm.
It is the Tokyo Grand Hyoto.
Oh.
You want to stay in the Tokyo Grand Hyatt. The reason it's in Roppongi Hills, so there's the Roppongi shenanigans are right there, but Roppongi is also really close to Shibuya. It's like probably the only thing that Roppongi that a tourist want to go see it's far from is Akihabara. But also, you're right by the Green Line. Like, you're a transfer away from the Green Line, I think. And the Green Line will get you Akihabara. And you're training it everywhere. But I guess this is my tip 3B. Don't ever get a taxi. Don't rent a car. You are training it all in Japan. You're training and walking. Anything else, you fucked up. So...
Accurate. I'll co-sign that.
Anything else worth knowing? Oh, yeah. Never go to Roppongi after midnight.
Yep.
Right, yeah.
See episode 4. those are my just general Japan tips.
So, retro Japanese console. What would be on your list?
Does TurboGrafx count?
He lists it, TurboGrafx. But, yeah, you can get TurboGrafx.
So, for me, it's TurboGrafx. Like, yeah. I'm not sure. I'm not sure that qualifies, because I think they actually did better here than there. But, that for me, you got Bonk's Adventure, you got Aero Fighters, so the original Splatterhouse, right?
Yes, you do.
TurboGrafx was godlike. It was godlike. So, how about you?
Keep courage, buddy.
And plus, also, TurboGrafx had some legit versions of Neo Geo games. Like, I think the version of Samurai Showdown 3 on TurboGrafx is amazing. It's so good. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that exists.
For me, I would get... I would actually go for a Neo Geo, just because I never had a Neo Geo, and I still don't to this day. I would love to have a Neo Geo.
Why would you love to have a Neo Geo?
Because I don't have one.
But is there a game you like to play on it or not?
I would love to get, like, Metal Slugs on them, for sure. I really like Metal Slugs. The other thing I would get, too, I would actually get a Super Famicom. I would love to have a Super Famicom. That's probably something I would hunt down. It's probably easier to find.
Is there a particular version you'd want? Like, because they got all the different shells, right?
Gosh, I haven't researched enough to know. I mean, what's the... It's like the typical, like, white and red one or whatever.
Daryl, I just decided something. I just decided something.
Okay.
I made a light decision for you.
Oh, great.
So this year for TGS.
Yeah.
Ramon and Kaiser are coming out. And they're not coming out for the show. They're coming out for the fun.
Sure.
You're coming too.
For the fun.
Just for the fun.
Yeah, I told when Ramon is going to do that, I actually had him on the hook. Oh. He was going to pick me up something nice. What? He was out
well,
there, so.
Well, now he's off the hook because you're going too.
Oh, apparently I was in the tunnel long enough to break the podcast download. This goddamn tunnel fucking up everything. I've been subscribing to that podcast for a while and hadn't really settled in and listened to it, just hadn't had time, so kind of catching up a little bit. Just figured I'd start with the Pack South episode, since there would be things in that show that I could verify if it was real or not, you know, get a sense for how much reality, you know, is in that podcast.
Well, now he's off the hook because you're going to.
You can go through Ramon.
No, you don't. You can go by yourself.
Okay.
I mean, my advice to you, like, so what's the impediment to you going to Tokyo with us? Don't worry about it.
Okay.
I think it's like September. It's the third week of September. Let's say it's then, right?
Sure.
Like, doesn't matter. Sure. Like, so far away, list your impediments to going to Tokyo. Enumerate them right now so I can obliterate them one at a time.
It's mostly just family.
Family. They'll be here when you get back, okay. Bro.
Sure.
That's my advice to you. You know what you just do? Do what everyone else does. Blame your boss. Oh, Lang's making me go. He's a ball buster. He's making me go to Tokyo. That's what Rona Kaiser do. I guarantee you. Like, they're not going to their Ramon and his wife and Kaiser and his girlfriend. They're like, hey, I'm just going to Tokyo without you for a week. Hope that's cool.
Right, right.
You know that's not happening. They're like,
right.
Fucking Lang. Lang's making me do it. So just climb on that train. Just do it.
What is your...
Now I gotta go to Tokyo for a week.
So Josh actually drops a hot GFB on us on his closing here. He drops a team giant final boss hype.
Okay.
Pretty good one.
I'll take it.
Yeah, I like that.
I don't know where the age is from, but that's fine.
The age?
Giant final boss hype.
Final boss. It's shit. Hashtag.
Oh, hashtag. Final boss. Okay. See?
Hype.
Giant final boss. Check.
Yep.
I approve.
Yeah. Thanks, Josh. All right. All right, our next email here comes from Tanner. Tanner says, hey, I had a question I couldn't think of anyone better to ask it than to you guys. So I'm currently a senior in high school, and I'm super interested in working in the video games in some way in the future. Problem is that I'm absolute garbage at math and programming type stuff, so that's not an option. My question is, what other ways are there to get into the video game industry? Any college majors that could help me out? Thanks.
Daryl, you want to field this one, or...
Yeah, I mean, I think we've talked about, like, the key roles that you typically have in a game industry, right? Like, there's the programmers, which he says are out, programmers/engineers, are out. There is, there's...
Well, first of all, I'm not even convinced that's out, right? Like, so, finish your thought, but then
I guess we'd have to know more about his background, right? Like, how does he know that he's garbage at programming? Like, has he tried it and he just doesn't enjoy it? Or I guess there's not enough information there. You know, there's also art, there's production, there's QA, there's design, audio, that we could go into. But as far as, I guess at some point you kind of gotta hunker down and figure out what you want to do, right? And it's real. I personally think it's real easy if you know you want to be a programmer. But outside of that, you know, what could you do? That's the thing too. Is like, I really hate it when kids trying to go into school and they're just not sure. They're like, I just want to be in games. I want to do something in games. You know. It's like, how can they do something in their off time to figure out, like, this is for them, this is what they want to do, right? And one of the easiest things to do, at least now in this day and age, is to, like, you know, download, like, the UDK, right? And start playing around with
like,
the Unreal
Engine. Here's the trick, right? This is something that, like, we did not have available to us when we were getting going. If you think you're into making games, like, make a game.
Right.
Like... Right. You could get Twine, you could get Unity, you get UDK, you get any of these, like, free engines that require varying levels of, you know, technical prowess or whatever. And it doesn't have to be, it's not going to be, like, you're not going to make the next, you know, deck, but, like, you're going to make a really small, simple game, but it's going to be yours, and it will tell you if this is something you want to do with the rest of your life, you know? It'll inform those choices you're going to make, right? Because, like, this is the classic, like, that sounds like a lot of work, right? Like, I meet so many people that say they want to make games, and then when my answer to them is always, why haven't you made a game yet? Like, anything at all, you know, it's just a list of, like, reasons that are not valid, right? It's like, if you think you want to make games, go do it right now. There's some things that are, like, no matter what your level of technical capabilities are, you can find a platform, you can make it, even if it's like the worst Pong of all time, you can do that, you know? And that will tell you if you actually want to do it enough to put the time in. Because, like, video games, like, we don't have extra organs, right? We don't have, like, these body parts no one else has. We just put the time in to learn how to do what we love. And we were awful at it for a really, really long time until we got good enough. And you need to do that too. And to do that, you need to love it. And the only way to love it is to try it. And so,
Yeah. And I think you find more and more these days, a lot of colleges are actually offering, you know, game development tracks and things of that nature.
Which I think is, like, in the most general sense, I'm against taking, like, a game development class. Right? Like,
just like a general game dev class.
Like, if you've never tried to make a game, don't take a game development class.
Yeah, don't pay the money to take a class to figure out if you want to do it or not, right?
Right.
There are enough resources for free online, right, that you can figure this out. You can figure this out on your own without dumping a bunch of cash.
Yeah, like, you don't need to, like, take out a $40,000 loan or whatever to find out you don't want to make games for free, you know? Yeah. Yeah. But if you do, if you find out, yeah, this is something you want to do, and you're putting the time in, and... that is something that can accelerate your growth for sure. Like, there's a lot of really good schools out there. But do not find out you want to do it or you don't on your own time. You know, don't do it on their time.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot cheaper. So, all right. Hopefully that helps, Tanner.
Probably not, but, you know, get fucked, boy.
Our next email comes from Brad. Brad writes in and says, hey, Team GFB Radio. This might be said of a naive question, but I'm not a game developer. I'm an application developer working on crime analytics software, but I thought I might ask as well. We always hear about...
That sounds pretty legit. Crime analytics
crime
software?
Crime analytics software, yeah.
Oh my god, that sounds
dope.
Pretty good. Holy
that sounds
shit.
Pretty dope.
Whoa. Okay, yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, that could be pretty good.
I'm stunned. I'm stunned from the crime analytics. Go ahead.
So we always hear about playtesting in game development, but what about unit testing? What level do IG unit tests do? And what is the IG CI, the continuous integration setup, like? Hopefully these questions aren't too technical. Keep up the good show, guys. P.S. Divekick got one of my friends laid. So, thanks, Brad, for writing in.
Daryl, question for you. Are you Brad? Did you write this mail to the show?
Yeah. You couldn't have asked a better question.
Right? Holy cow, Daryl.
This is, yeah. So, this is, funny you ask this now. This is like, this has kind of been like my pet project right now at Iron Galaxy has been, so for people who don't know what unit testing is or continuous integration, so what unit testing is a way, usually when you're in development or software development, you usually write a project or a program. It's usually like a library that you kind of plug and play into other things. And what you'll do is you set up a unit test where it's a very small script, let's say, that just exercises the functionalities of that library or that code in particular. So you can always kind of, anytime you make changes to the library, you can just run it against the unit test, and you know that, like, the output is still the same and everything still works, and you add new to just stress test the function.
All right. I've made it to the office. It's very exciting. unit testing actually sounds pretty awesome. Anyway, that's it from me. It's Tuesday. This is going to be a real weird day for me, but I don't know. At some point, podcasts have to happen, all kinds of other shit. So we'll see how it goes. Wish me luck. I'll see you later.